जय कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव, जय कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव, जय कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव, जय कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ, जय गोपी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ,
जय गोपी जन वल्लभ,
जय गिरिवर धारी, जय गिर, जय राधा माधव, जय कुंज बिहारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन,
यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन,
यमुना तीर वनचारी,
यमुना तीर वनचारी,
यमुना तीर वनचारी,
यमुना तीर
जय कुंज बिहारी,
जय कुंज बिहारी,
जय राधा माधव, 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 जय कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे,
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे
प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद, जय प्रभुपाद,
जय जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद, जय
हो, जय जय गुरुदेव गुरुदेव गुरुदेव, जय गुरुदेव, बोलो रे ताई गौर हरि बोल, हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल,
ताई गौर हरि बोल हरि
बोल, ગ્રંથરા શ્રીમદ ભાગવતમ કી
જય. જય ઓમ વિષ્ણુ પાદ પરમહંસ પરિવ્રજ કે જય સ્તોત્ર સત શ્રી શ્રીમદ ડિવાઇન ગ્રેસ એસી ભક્તિ વેદાંત સ્વામી શિલ પ્રભુપાદ કી જય. ઓમ વિષ્ણુ પાદ પરમહંસ પરિવ્રજ કે જય સ્તોત્ર શ્રી શ્રીમદ ડિવાઇન ગ્રેસ શિલ ભક્તિ સિદ્ધાંત સરસ્વતી ગોસ્વામી મહારાજ શિલ પ્રભુપાદ કી અનંત કોટિ વૈષ્ણવ વૃંદ કી નામાચાર્ય શિલ હરિદાસ ઠાકુર કી પ્રેમ સે કહો શ્રી કૃષ્ણ ચૈતન્ય પ્રભુ નિચનંદ શ્રી અદ્વૈત શ્રી ગદાધર શ્રી વાસુદેવ ગૌર ભક્ત વૃંદ કી શ્રી વૃંદાવન ધામ કી શ્રી માયાપુર ધામ કી શ્રી જગન્નાથપુરી ધામ કી ગોવર્ધન ઇકો વિલેજ કી ટ્રાન્સેન્ડેન્ટલ બુક ડિસ્ટ્રીબ્યુશન કી જય નિતાય ગૌર પ્રેમાનંદે. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, good morning. Welcome everyone. My name is Rai Ramananda Das. I come from Radadesh, Belgium. Originally from Holland. And I was asked to give this Bhagavatam class. Today is a very auspicious day. It's the appearance of Srimati Sita Devi, Srimati Janavamata, and it's also the disappearance of Madhu Pandit, and it is the appearance day of His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Swami, who passed away on the 9th of March. And they will have a big celebration today in Radadesh. It's the Vyas Puja for the international community. I think the original day, the Titi, was on the 19th. But they will celebrate it now in Radadesh. And last few weeks after his passing on the 9th of March this year, I've been meditating how to glorify Maharaj, because I had much personal interaction with him both in Holland as well as in Radadesh, and I think it's very appropriate to speak about Maharaj, about his life. So I'll speak something about his life, about his qualities, about my personal interaction with Maharaj, and his Anchalila, we could say, his final pastimes, which were so glorious, which we could follow on YouTube and all other sorts of media. So that's the idea for this this class. So it's a bit of a different class than normally. Is the Srimad Bhagavatam here? So the verse for today is Srimad Bhagavatam 5. Canto 5, Chapter 5.15, and it's a verse which nicely connects to today's lecture. Thank you very much. Let us start with the opening prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So once again, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Verse 15. Putramscha Sishamscha Nripo Gururva. Malloka kamo matanu graharta. Itam vimanyur anusishatatachkyan. Nayo jayet karma shukarma mudan. Kamyo jayan manu joritam labetya.
Nipataya nashta drisham hi karte. Prabhus? Yeah? Putramsha sishamsha nripo gururva. Maloka kamo matanugraharta. Itam vimanyo anu sisya taktakyan. Nayo jayet karma sukarma mulam. Kam yo jayan manujo ritam la beta. Vatayan nishta drisham higarte. Putramscha sishamscha nirpo gururva. Maloka kama matanugraharta. Itam vimanyo anusisya tatakyam. Nayo jayet karma sukarma mudam. Kam yo jayam manuritam labeta. Nipate anastram drisham higarte. Vaishnavis? Putramscha sishamscha nripa gururva. Kamahatanugraharta. Itam vimanyo anusisya tatakyan. Karma shukama mudam. Putran, the sons, ja, and sishyan, the disciples, ja, and Nripa, the king, Guru, the spiritual master, Va, or Matloka Kama, desiring to go to my abode, Mat Anugra Arta, thinking that to achieve my mercy is the aim of life. Itam, in this manner, Vimanyu, free from anger, Anusishat, should instruct, Atatgyan, bereft of spiritual knowledge, Na, not, Yojayet, should engage, Karmashu, in fruitive activities, Karma Mudan, simply engaged in pious or impious activities. Kam what? Yojayan, engaging. Manuja, amen. Artam, benefit. Labeta, can achieve. Nipatayan, causing to fall. Nastadrisham, one who is already bereft of his transcendental sight. He, indeed, garte, in the hole. Translation. If one is serious about going back home, back to Godhead, he must consider the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the summum bonum and chief aim of life. If he is a father instructing his sons, a spiritual master instructing his disciples, or a king instructing his citizens. He must instruct them as I have advised. Without being angry, he should continue giving instructions, even if his disciple, son, or citizen is sometimes unable to follow his order. Ignorant people who engage in pious and impious activities should be engaged in devotional service by all means. They should always avoid fruitive activity. If one puts into the bondage of karmic activity his disciple, son, or citizen who is bereft of transcendental vision, how will one profit? It is like leading a blind man to a dark well and causing him to fall in. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated in 3:26, Nabudi Vedam Janayet, Agyanam Karma Sanginam, Yosha Yet Sarva Karmani, Vitvan Yukta Samacharan. Let not the wise disrupt the minds of the ignorant who are attached to fruitive action. They should be encouraged not to refrain from work, but to work in the spirit of devotion. Om Angyana Timirandasya Kyananjana Salakya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Itinamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pucharine Nirvishesa Sunyavad Bhastache De Sitarine. So, before I start, I would like to ask for all of your blessings, that I may properly worship His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Swami, that I may please my spiritual master, that I may please all of you, and that I may speak something which is inspiring for your devotional service. So going back to the verse, I found the first line very appropriate to the life and teachings of His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj. If one is serious about going back home, back to Godhead, he must consider the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the summum bonum and chief aim of life. So as it will appear from the class, His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj was extremely serious about his life, and he didn't give in despite being tested to the max, I would say. And one element he also always stressed was the mercy of the Lord. Definitely we should endeavor, but depending on the mercy of the Lord. And this is coming forth from this verse, from the translation so clearly. So I would like to start by kind of chronologically describing Maharaj's life. So Maharaj, he took birth in post-war Holland, the Netherlands, 1953. So today is his 70th Vyas Puja birthday celebration. And naturally, after the war, the countries, all of Europe and many other countries had to be built up. So his parents were quite materially inclined. Naturally, there was simply, in his own words, no time for spirituality. But that was not Maharaj's mood. He was part of the 60s in his teens, and he was very much into music, and he came from a very affluent family. His father was a big CEO in a big enterprise in the Amsterdam area, and the rest of his family as well. And the interest that Maharaj had didn't really match with the idea his father had for him. And his father told him that that life was a compromise. And Maharaj said, well, maybe for you, but not for me. So that's where they grew apart a little bit. And it came to the point that he left home. And of course, his mother made sure that he had sufficient Lakshmi to provide for his travels. So he traveled also like Guru Maharaj did. He also traveled overland to India. And when he came to the border of India, he met a very old Sikh, big turban, big mustache, and very officially asked to Maharaj, what is your purpose of visiting India? And Maharaj said, well, I heard India is a very spiritual place, so I'd like to visit and like to explore. So he said, the guard said, so, oh, you're going to Varanasi. And Maharaj, he didn't want to argue with somebody in a uniform, so he said, yes, I will go to Varanasi. And then the guard said, yes, you will go to Varanasi because I will buy you a ticket. And that's what the man did. And Maharaj was very charmed by that. And so he went to Varanasi and he went to the Ghats, and there the famous bhajan, which is quite appropriate for today. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram Jai Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, was played continuously. And after visiting India, he went back to Holland, and his mother was in her last phase of life. She had cancer. And he was singing this this bhajan intuitively, because he wasn't a devotee yet. We're speaking about 1975. And his mother passed away while he was singing this intuitively. He just felt like this is the right thing to do. So he went back and forth to India in these years, and still in 75 he saw a devotee in the distance across the street, but it was so busy he couldn't cross the street. So Maharaj mentioned that if he would have got hold of that devotee, he might have been there for the opening of the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan and met Srila Prabhupada. But Krishna had a slightly different plan. It took place only 2 years later. He started to visit the temple in Amsterdam more, but he didn't join yet. He went back to India and he joined in Vrindavan, and he described how he, at the end of the day, he walked into Vrindavan along with all the cows who came back from the pasture ground. So that's, I'm trying to envision how Vrindavan looked at those days, walking towards the Krishna Balaram temple, the road which we know now, which was a dirt road at the time. He mentioned there was only two cars at the time coming to Vrindavan every day. So this was, very, very unique. And his first service on the first day was, he was engaged in the restaurant, and he was serving under a senior devotee. And unfortunately, he found this devotee in a difficult position with another lady in the back of the restaurant. And that was the moment where he realized, actually, that I shouldn't look up to a person, but I have to set the example myself. That was mainly the focus, to set the example himself. And but he didn't know how, because it was only his first day in Krishna consciousness. But the next day, he was the manager of the restaurant. So he did that for some time, and then he became the general manager of the temple in Vrindavan. They didn't want to give him a big title, because he was still relatively new. And later on, he was a disciple of Bhavananda Maharaj at the time, Bhavananda Prabhu. And I think around 1984, he contracted malaria 12 times in 1 year. So every month, basically once. And he lost a lot of weight. And Bhavananda, if I'm correct, he is from Australia. So he sent him to Australia to recover. And Maharaj saw the sparrows in Australia, and they were twice as fat as in India. So he thought, like, okay, this is a good way to recover. I can recover here. So he's doing. He was actually promised to. They bought him a ticket, but as soon as he arrived, the temple president said, "So how are you going to pay back the ticket?" Maharaj said, "Oh, that was not quite how it was agreed upon." And then he was just distributing, I think it was paintings at the time, not only books, but paintings. And he was dropped off in a certain district in Melbourne. And he saw a sign, and the sign said, "Blood and Bones." It's like, what is this? And then it appeared he was distributing his items in like the area where all the slaughterhouses were in Melbourne. So he just went to one. He said, "If I'm here anyway, just try to give out some mercy and let them benefit." So he went in, and he saw a fence around this slaughterhouse, and there were chickens. So Maharaj said, like, to the chicken, he said, "Run, chicken, run," so that he could try to be saved from being slaughtered. But he eventually spoke to one of the persons working there, and he had his apron. It was like fully covered with blood, and he sold quite some items, so they got some mercy. But yeah, it was quite something to be put in that challenging situation. But Maharaj mentioned that, I'm just trying to highlight here and there also his personality, that he liked challenges. That's where he thrived. He was like a fish in water when he was in these kinds of circumstances. So after some time, he was called back by Bhavananda Maharaj at the time, back to Mayapur. And he said, I think his name was Kramakanana Rasaparayana at the time, "You have anything with construction?" Maharaj said, "No, not particularly." I said, "Well, that's good, because you're in charge of construction for all of Mayapur." So that included the Samadhi, the Radha Madhava temple, the Nishinga temple, the conch building, the courtyard, the police station, and all the electric cabling with all its substations. So I'm just trying to imagine picking up this project of the Samadhi only, apart from all the other projects there. The project manager had left, the architect had also left, along with the plans. So there was something like a foundation in this swampy area on the banks of the Ganges River. You have to build a Samadhi, you don't speak the language, which is another aspect of Maharaj. He was very good in languages. Just to mention the languages that he spoke, of course, Dutch is his native language, English, German, French, Spanish, because at a certain point, early 2000s, he was called to save the project of New Rajamandala near Madrid, the capital of Spain. Then he spoke Hindi because of his Vrindavan period. He spoke Bengali. Those were the seven main languages. And then, as later on appears from the lecture, he spoke also other languages, or he could understand, because he could understand other languages which were related to it. So, he had to deal with these circumstances to build up that Samadhi and all these other projects. And I recently listened to the disciples' meeting, which had happened straight after the Maharaj's departure. And Vasudev Prabhu, who is now the head pujari in the Bhakti Center in New York, is a friend of mine. He's from Holland also, and he came in 97. 97 was the time when Maharaj was in Holland. So he spoke about how Maharaj in Mayapur, so we're still in like 1985 onwards period now, Maharaj's working days were from 6 to 8, so 6 in the morning, 8 in the evening, day after day, week after week, month after month, for 6 years straight he did that, along with his wife, because this was his Grihastha period, which was also an asset later on, because he could relate to the Grihasthas as well. And he had to, you say, haggling with contractors. He had to get documents from the government. He had to get his building materials all over India and travel with his wife to get the marble and everything required. And 3 days a week he would stay in Calcutta temple, and he didn't particularly like Calcutta. He said, the Dham is the Dham. When you're in Mayapur, I can tolerate all these austerities. But to stay in Calcutta, and of course we can now also see, I saw the video, the Yatra of Radha Gopinath temple, and the online one in Calcutta, we can understand how that is, of course, also in Holy Dham. But to stay, I think, in those days when you're in the temple there, and there, when you need running water, at the most, there's no running water, you know, you just come from the toilet or something like that. And then you had to take your bath in the pond opposite the temple. And he said, I don't know where the water came from, but somehow or other, we had to take our bath there. So it was quite austere for him. And just as the projects were about to finish, he was called to Vrindavan. So he didn't even see it in its complete form, you know. So you have to be quite detached as well, that someone else finishes it and like that. So he was called to Vrindavan. And Vrindavan at that time was in a very difficult stage. He had to clean up the temple. There were like so many mafia who had infiltrated. I think around 20, you call it gundas? Is that the right pronunciation? Yeah. And Vasudev mentioned in his class, he said, some were just walking into the guest house, just flipping bullets, like that. And Maharaj had to go into that situation and get rid of them, like one by one, and restore it to its original, more pristine state. And eventually, as we all know, that resulted in him being shot in 1995. And Maharaj, he was writing a book, and he wanted to dedicate one chapter, which should be entitled like "In One Shot." And in that one shot, he lost everything. He lost his whole identity. He was like the big person making it happen there. And we could say, like these earlier years, he was like predominantly a manager. Later on, his more saintly personalities came more to the surface. Of course, he was a devotee, but he was, the emphasis was more on being a manager, and later on more becoming like a saintly person. That's what he wanted. So he first went to South Africa because the climate was quite good there, and the medical care was quite good in terms of Ayurvedic opportunities there. And then he followed into Srila Prabhupada's footsteps when he was ill. Prabhupada went back to India, to his home country, and he went back to Holland. And the temple in Amsterdam at the time was quite a bit of a wild place. It wasn't a big temple anymore from the 80s. It was like a small place in the Van Helegaardstraat. And I also have served there for a couple of years on Guru Maharaj's instruction. And I know it's very small, very difficult, lots of changes in terms of management. And you could see that it's a bit of a wild place. But Amsterdam in general is like that. But he called it a matchbox. He said, hey, I was like the big manager in Vrindavan, and all of a sudden I was in this small temple, and all the devotees were talking about was matches. They couldn't think big because they were in this like small contained place. So that's where Vasudev mentioned he came in 97, and that's the year when Maharaj took sannyas from His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj. And he really started to develop a relationship with Maharaj. He was, Vasudev Prabhu was a young boy of only 18 years old. And Maharaj wasn't known much at the time, so there was easy access. He was just like a friend, like a brother, like a father. He said, like, he taught me like how to, he said, I tied my dhoti in a knot. And Maharaj said, oh, that's so primitive. So he showed him like the proper way. He said, no, I'm like a father to you. He didn't like to be so much like a father, but eventually he became of many disciples. I think approximately around 1,000 eventually, I heard. So he used this time to recover from the shooting accident. And by Krishna's grace, he survived. And I think this is one other aspect, is loyalty, his absolute loyalty to his sannyas guru, His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj, who called him to New Vraja Mandala because the project was about to be sold. And Maharaj stepped in his manager mood, and he didn't do the basics. He developed it much more than what was required, and made it into a flourishing project again. So he really saved that temple. And that's what we saw later on also. He did the same when he was called around, I think, maybe 2017 to New York, to the Brooklyn Temple, to also help there and develop the project on his Guru Maharaj's order. So we know he wasn't only like a very good sannyasi, as we know and as we've seen, but he was also a wonderful disciple of his spiritual master, very loyal, very humble, but also very nice. If you look at these last months of his life, how he's giving lectures along with Jayadvaita Maharaj, like, but still he took the humble position if you carefully observed the interactions. So, if I just focus on his qualities, he's... Maharaj presented things with a lot of humor, but behind the humor was always like giving Krishna. He was always giving Krishna. And he was very down to earth, very straightforward, which is kind of like a Dutch quality to which I can relate. He always stressed mercy. Maybe one of you can mention one of his other qualities he was very much known for. Anyone? Kirtan. Yeah, he's all out kirtans. We can see the pictures, like he gave 200%. Thank you. Anyone? Simple. Yes, he was definitely very, very simple, straightforward. Thank you, Prabhu. Courageous. Yes, definitely. Yeah. Very well versed in Shastra, I would say. And he deeply, deeply cared about the growth of his disciples, I would say. That came to the forefront in his last months especially. But I will come back to that. He was also a man of principles. He said when he asked something to his group leader, and he said, "Don't think, just follow." Well, that wasn't Maharaj. That was the day he left that yatra. He said, I'm not like that. I have to understand something. Once I understand and I see it's, you know, Krishna's will, then I can go all out or all in, as you want, and give myself fully to the project. He was very personally involved in the lives of his disciples. And he created a whole infrastructure to make sure everything would continue. And it is at this moment, as we'll see later on in this class. Like he wrote a book of like 200 pages just with instructions. Later on, I will read a little bit from his will, where it's very clear what he wanted in different parts in the world, from different projects, from different devotees, what the mood should be of his disciples. And then there's the last message, which you can find if you type last message, Kadamakanana Swami. He was really stressing that. So he gave a whole package to make sure everything would continue. So this is, very, very nice. And I would like to share some personal interactions. The first time I came, like mid-90s, in Krishna consciousness, but it took me quite some time to. I just was reading books at home. I didn't go much to temple. I wasn't aware that there was a temple in Rotterdam where I lived. So my first interaction that I know was the opening of the Oudarjadam temple in Rotterdam, Holland, and this was the initiation of some disciples, Vishakha Mataji and Uddhava. Uddhava Prabhu takes quite a leading role in like his will and all the official, like the websites, and he took lots of responsibility. Maharaj spent lots of time with them, and during the initiation, they received second at the time, and he said, like, yeah, you have to move forward. This is, come on, you know, take the next step. And you could see, like, he was pushing this a little bit. He was involved. And 1 year later, he stayed at my home. I was working outside in the corporate world, and I really liked that period in a sense that working outside means I had my own place to stay, a car from the company, finances were there. So you could always invite senior devotees, drive them around, give donations like that. It was very beneficial. And Maharaj came. Sorry. And the first thing he said was, oh, this is such a nice opportunity to get to know you. And he immediately became so personal, and it wasn't so much, usually there was like awe and reverence, especially I think in that time, like this was 2005, so, but I was used to like the big profile, high profile sannyasis, and he was like so down to earth, so personal. And in 2008, me and my wife, we were traveling around the world. We kind of like took a sabbatical. For me, it was almost 2 years. I've stayed first in the manor, awaiting the sabbatical program, which is 3 months here in Chaupati, 3 months in the manor. And then we did a world travel, so we stayed in over 20 different ISKCON projects around the world. And then we finished by doing Bhakti Shastri in Mayapur, and that's where Kadamakananda Maharaj was, and Jayadvaita Maharaj taught at the time as well. He was my teacher. And they were always taking lunch together during the lunch break. And I was asked by one senior Mataji, her name is Radha Madhav Bhakti Mataji, she made cookies for both of the sannyasis, and she asked me to give them every lunch. So I would leave the Bhakti Shastri class in the lunch break and bring them. And upon collecting the cookies, I had to enter her home. But her home was like full of deities everywhere. Where you could look, there were deities. And there were special things going on there. And the only way not to offend the deity was to, as soon as the door opened at the threshold, you offer your obeisances, not to be with you back to any deities. So I took the cookies, I brought them, and that was my daily service. One time, Mataji went to Navadvip. So I knocked on the door, and she hadn't told me. Nobody there. I was like, oh my God, I have to face Jayadvaita Maharaj and Kadamakananda Maharaj telling, I'm sorry, I don't have cookies. I was a little in anxiety there. And I told Maharaj straight, Jayadvaita Maharaj, and I thought the best is just to be honest. And he just, this big smile, as Jayadvaita Maharaj can do, came on his face when I explained. And he raised his hand and he said, you get the blessings because I made the endeavor and was trying to be honest. So there was a very nice period of having interaction with both of the sannyasis. And on the Saturday was like our day off, and then we had like in the weekend, we had outings. And Kadamakananda Maharaj took us to Mamgachi in Mayapur. And we went by boat, different boats. I was on the boat with Kadamakananda Maharaj. So this is Madhumadav Prabhu, this is relating to your kirtan aspect. Maharaj was going all out. And he had, the mridanga player was Gopal from Ayendra's band, Gopal, the skinny, Gopal from the UK. And they were going all out. And I remember on the way back, the sun was setting. There was this all-out kirtan. There was different boats, everybody was losing it. There were dolphins in front of the boats, there were parrots circling above the boat in the holy name, and sun setting was just such a, yeah, it's an imprint, a samskar on the heart. It was so wonderful. So these memories were there in Mayapur. And then 2 years later I attended a seminar in Radhadesh that he gave, and it was a philosophical point that I asked the question and I couldn't grasp the point, and he noticed, and during lunch he came to me and he just grabbed my hands And he took me close to him. He was looking deep in my eyes. And from different angles, he was trying to explain that point. And I felt like, I've never felt like somebody so deeply concerned about, he really wanted me to understand that point. So that was something which left a deep impression as well. And then, of course, from 2010 onwards, there's the Radha Desh Mellows. And I was fortunate enough to attend all of them up until now. And Maharaj is one of the key Kirtaniyas who was always there, like Madhava Prabhu and Nadia. Those were like the steady ones. And he was always there, and it was always like, yeah, the all-out kirtan where everybody lost it, where the roof went just, you know, he blew the roof off, as he can do. So that was just so so wonderful. And then in 2015, I started my own market research company. And my family, we're living in the retreat center. We have an apartment there. It's just 10 meters away from the hall where the Radha Desh Mellows is. I can just go on my socks, basically. And but this office was in the Bhaktivedanta College, and my office was opposite of Maharaj's room, just 3 meters. So when I opened my window, which was the only window to get fresh air, I always heard him playing harmonium. And whenever I go for a lunch break, I could touch his shoes without him knowing it. I hope he forgives me. And many times we would go for lunch walks, sometimes together, sometimes with groups because of his health condition. 2016, he contracted cancer first time, and he survived that. But he had to take healthy walks. So, and Radha Desh is a nice hilly area; it's very green. So that's what he was doing. And I remember in 2017, I felt like I needed somebody close to me, like a senior devotee, like Shiksha. And I don't know how he did it. He was so expert. Like in 5 minutes, he figured out my whole life. He just gave like one instruction after another after another. I still have them in my phone. Every now and then I check if I'm still on track, the points that he made. So that was another nice personal interaction. And then during those years, especially up into the last years, we had many walks. And he was also like very practical. There's another aspect of his personality, very down to earth. And we walked past by on the hill, plot of land that we bought with my family. And he was just explaining me how I could quickly build the house. Because he had this background in construction, so it was just explaining me very practically, like, this is how you can do it. And then later on, after COVID, I had a health condition. And it was just, he grabbed this, blood pressure instrument. It was measuring my blood pressure, you know. It was like so all-rounded, I would say. It was like, whether it was spiritual or material. Yeah, it was so nice, so all-round. Yeah, then inevitably in 2022, the message came. He posted the message that he had stage 4 cancer. And in a very nice way, we could see him first in New York, have kind of like, you know, do his thing there and say goodbye there and finish things up there. And then a little later on, he moved to England and he made sure he had at least one sannyas disciple, so he gave sannyas to Sutapa Prabhu, who was my teacher during the sabbatical as Bhakta Sandeep. I know him. He's became Sutapa, and then he became Swayam Bhagavan Keshava Maharaj. So in England, he had like his, you know, his farewell party, and then in Radha Desh, he called it his funeral party. Because he was such a local person there, so we made sure we had like a nice farewell party, and devotees were just showering flowers from the balcony when Maharaj came from the temple, and just like as if the demigods showered flowers. And but he called it his funeral ceremony. He didn't like it so much. Yeah, it was the etiquette. He did it, but and then he moved to India, to Vrindavan, And I had a little doubt whether I should go or not go, because I knew I was going to Gogovardhan Eco Village. I was here in December, January, this period, for a health retreat. And I knew this was my last chance. I was close, but I don't know. Somehow or other, I decided not to. I did a yakya here on Maharaj's behalf, and I sent it to Krishna Kirtan from London, his dentist disciple. And Maharaj came back and he appreciated it. And I just realized, like, so much realization would come in this last period. Everything will accumulate, it will come. So much mercy will be there. Also, not only from him wanting his disciples to continue, but also from other senior devotees like Burjan Prabhu, with whom he was very close. Jayadvaita Maharaj and so many others who came around that period. And as Vasudev Prabhu said, he kept on giving, despite his condition. He's like in stage 4 cancer, I can't imagine, but still weekly we saw his Zoom calls with connecting with the world. And then I think 2 days after, he would do a parikrama. And it was also live. So two sessions a week, despite the condition. And you couldn't really see it, especially we notice when we get on that spiritual platform where we don't connect so much to the body, then we get uplifted, there's a lot of energy. And it was just doing it. And still with a lot of humor. And yeah, he was instructing a lot during those last sessions towards his disciples. I know what the mood they should take. So I would like to read a little bit from his will, just to see what it is. But before that, I want to read something from the book called Forever Present, which is meant for his disciples, but I want to make sure. I have a copy actually here digitally. Thank you, Chintamani Mataji, for sending it. Anyone interested, I could forward it, or you can ask Chintamani to forward it. But in the introduction, it starts, Tamo Krishna Maharaj once said that the duty of a spiritual master is to give his disciples a vision for their lives, which is greater than the one they would have come up with on their own, and then to help the disciples to realize that vision. So Maharaj said, as soon as he said it, I memorized it. It was that potent and that pertinent. It summed up what I was supposed to be doing as a sannyasi, as an instructing spiritual master. So now, the last word Maharaj uttered was the word mission, and this referred to his will. And my neighbor, Rupa Sanatan Prabhu, he's a disciple of Jayadvaita Maharaj, he was present in those last days. He's responsible for the execution of the will, poor him, and in the sense that he has to follow up on it and chase everyone. But the mission, I will read a little bit. So worldwide, I request my disciples to take initiative to keep close connections with one another, invite each other to do programs together, develop preaching programs together, and be kind and respectful in all Vaishnava dealings. Europe, to all my disciples in Europe, including the UK, please keep the King's Day Festival in Amsterdam going. Anyone knows what the King's Day Festival is? Well, it's the birthday of the King. It's the 27th of April, so it happened 2 days ago. So Maharaj made sure that every year his Vyas Puja would take place last week of April. Then he had all of his disciples from all over the world, but mainly Europe. And then on King's Day, he would rent 3 buses, he would pay for it, and we would go from Radhadesh 3 hours to Amsterdam, do a 4-hour kirtan, because there's 1 million people coming to Amsterdam at the time. And they're all wearing orange, because that's historically the color of Holland. It's not that you don't see it in a flag, because that's red, white, blue, but orange is connected to... anyway, that's an all other story. I will keep focusing on Maharaj and his glories. But there's a four-hour Harinam, and that's just the first part of the day, and there's a million people, and they're all in orange. So Maharaj said, at that day, everybody is a brahmachari. As we'll see later on during the day, after the lunch break, everybody starts to drink alcohol, they get drunk, and then, yeah, you can expect loads of beer, being like Abhishek of beer, you know. You still have 4 hours to go, and sometimes it can become even a little hostile when people are too drunk. And but there's always one moment to look forward to in Vondel Park, where Srila Prabhupada also walked. There's a bridge, like a big bridge. It's like a tunnel, and the acoustics are perfect. So you're there with like 200 devotees after 7 hours of Harinam, and Maharaj is losing it, everybody's losing it, and you're drenched in beer, you still have to drive 3 hours back to Radhadesh. So that's, he put it in his will, that's how important it was, and that's again that mercy aspect. He just wanted to give out this mercy. He said, like, you know, we have to do it this day. Everybody's there present in the partying mood, and this is the way to do it. So that's the King's Day. Then New York, to my disciples in New York, please try to continue preaching in NYC and reaching out to the new audiences and help the development of the Radha Govinda Temple in Brooklyn. So this was the other project he was called to help on the order of Jayadvaita Maharaj. He didn't like it, but he surrendered to it. The UK, Swayam Bhagavan Keshav Swami, please make the UK a lifetime service as a spiritual leader, along with other services elsewhere in the world. To all my disciples in the UK, please keep a strong sense of community amongst my disciples. Please also make a contribution to spreading Krishna consciousness all over the UK for Srila Prabhupada. And then, very important, South Africa, which was so close to Maharaj's heart. Vibhu Chaitanya, please continue to take a direct role in leadership in this movement and kindly support the preaching to the African community in South Africa. To all my other disciples in South Africa, please also ensure you make a strong community amidst our God family and preach Krishna consciousness all over South Africa as an offering to Srila Prabhupada. And it continues like that. And I think I would like to mention a little bit of Maharaj's heart. I mentioned King's Day already, which is very important to him. But South Africa, well, he took a particular interest, especially to the black African community. In, I think it was 2008, he organized the first Ratha Yatra in Soweto, which is a township connected to Johannesburg. And he was confronted there by the locals. He said, what are you white person doing here? Because many atrocities had happened in the past. And he very humbly said to them, he said, my ancestors who, because South Africa, the white people, they speak kind of like Dutch. He said they committed many atrocities, and I'm here to pay back. So he organized that Ratha Yatra, and he didn't want it to be organized by the Indian community. So he brought in a whole group, like almost mystically, from Durban, like black Africans, to help organize this Ratha Yatra. And many of them didn't really know why they were there, what they were, but somehow or other it worked out. And of course there's music, there's food, and there's so many colors, and they absolutely loved it. And from there, he was just building up. I think Maharaj came to the idea when he's watching, he saw some devotees watching Ratha Yatra on television, and he saw them dancing like crazy in front of the television. Then he realized he should do that, have a Ratha Yatra in Durban, in the Soweto township. And I can, from my personal experience in South Africa with Kirtan, it's another level when they bring in the djembes. And Maharaj said, I did well in South Africa because I spoke better Dutch than the local Dutch people in South Africa. I spoke better Hindi than the Indians in South Africa. And he said, with Kirtan, with the black African community, I spoke that language too. So he did quite well there. And my friend Rupa Sanatan Prabhu, my neighbor, he mentioned that in his last days, when Maharaj spoke about Soweto Ratha Yatra, he started crying. And he said, I never saw Maharaj cry, but when it came to this, said like some or other they got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And so this was very dear to his heart. And to finish it off, the last part of the class, Vasudev Prabhu, he said like Maharaj was just constantly trying to conquer his disciples. And he said conquering means that continuously, it's not just once. He said it again and again and again, trying to conquer his disciples, and he made this security net. And you see that going on now. The book is there, the will is there. The last message with the instructions is there. And you see at the moment how it's going on, the festival, how it's at this very moment, it's Mangalarti time. So I imagine the Kirtan in Radhadesh right now. And there's already weekly meetings, disciples, and they invite a senior devotee. One time Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj was invited, and he made a connection with Maharaj's last message. Maharaj's last message, he said, like, come quickly to the spiritual world. Because he wanted his devotees to set the right example and to come quickly to the spiritual world. And Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, he said, like, it's only 20, 30 years. Just keep doing devotional service. And Maharaj has given you all these tools, the book, the will, everything is there. Keep doing devotional service and you can join him. So it's such a nice perspective, because in one other lecture, Satchinanda Maharaj confirmed how Maharaj appeared to him in a dream, as many other senior departed Vaishnavas appeared to Satchinanda Maharaj. So he kind of like confirmed, yes, Maharaj is in the spiritual world. He was blissfully happy appearing in his dream. So he's there. He's giving all these instruments. And Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj is urging his disciples. It's just this amount of time. So just go, do it, and you'll be all back. And Maharaj was speaking about the festival. He said in his last message, he said there will be such a festival in the spiritual world. All of ISKCON will be there. And triggered something in me, like, you know, I would like to, I've attended many of his kirtans. I would like to be there. Attend that kirtan with all these ISKCON devotees. And Maharaj revealed, he said, I want to go to Navadvip in the spiritual world. I want to go to Golok. And I want to take rebirth again. Because he couldn't tolerate the suffering in this world. So this is his desire. So he was conquering his disciples. He was conquering death, as we heard how glorious his departure was. Bibi Govinda Maharaj chanting, which was his desire. So many other senior sannyasis were there. Jananda Maharaj was there. Rita Dvaj Maharaj was there. Panchagoda Prabhu was there. Vasudev Prabhu was there. Jayadvaita Maharaj, of course. And Vasudev Prabhu said he was just conquering death. He was just so focused. He knew where he was going. His body didn't want anything. He couldn't do anything anymore, but he was just so peaceful, so calm, so focused, and he knew where he was going. And then he left. And he said he left the day after Gorpunim. And Vasudev said, in a way, Gorpunim is 2 days, because the festival of Jagannath Mishra is straight after. He said he lived through Gorpunim. And then the next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took him to his eternal pastimes. So I don't know if there's any time, but if there's any realizations that somebody of you would like to share, I would be willing to hear. I thank you very much for your attendance, and I hope you will bless me that I, at one point in the future, I might join this transcendental party in the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Is there still time for... Can we... Is there anyone? Raise your hand. Chintamani Mataji would like to speak something. Or Maharaj. Because no doubt I've missed out on many things.
Hare Krishna. My name is Chintamani Devidasi. I am like Prabhu and like Kadama Maharaj, also from the Netherlands. But I've been living in Vrindavan Dham for the past 6, 7, 8 years. I met Maharaj, I came to know of Maharaj in 1996 because I befriended his wife. And I would actually like to briefly mention about Mataji. Yesterday on social media, I read a post by Govardhan Eco Village on the occasion of Srimati Sita Devi's appearance day, and it mentioned how during the coronation celebrations was going on and how Sita Devi suddenly started crying. And Ram asked her, "Why are you crying?" And she said, "Somebody threw red color in the air." And it reminded me of the bloodshed and the sacrifice of Jatayu. And it mentioned how behind every success and behind every celebration, there's also someone, or there's others who make big sacrifices. And I think from Mataji, it was very difficult for her to give permission to Maharaj to take sannyas. She suffered a lot, but she did it. And she did it because she knew that that was what Maharaj wanted. And she also knew that it was very beneficial for not only ISKCON, but for the public at large also, because he was such a great Kirtaniya, he was such a great preacher. But yeah, and the reason I would like to mention her, that her sacrifice in this way, sacrificing her husband, giving up her husband, sacrificing him to ISKCON, was so glorious. And yeah, basically without her permission, there would not have been a Kadama Kanana Maharaj. And the second reason I want to would like to mention Mataji is because a few years ago she became sick. She's been staying in Vrindavan for the past 4 or 5 years. And having been involved in taking care of her, I watched from up close how Maharaj dealt with this. He was very clear, saying that I'm a sannyasi, I have to take my distance. There's proper etiquette. But in the same time, he maneuvered himself in such a way that he showed his compassion in a very humane way, in a very practical way. Like he, for instance, assigned one of his disciples as the main caregiver for her. All communications went through Jayadvaita Maharaj, so he could be kept informed of the main points in her disease. She was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. He took care, or he made sure that some of his wealthier disciples would take care of Mataji's needs whenever she needed something. So in that sense, he always, and I think that's one of his qualities as well, he could always maneuver himself in such a position as to not compromise his own spiritual life and his own principles and his own strictness as a sannyasi, but at the same time be very humane and compassionate and merciful. So having been in Vrindavan and witnessed his final months there, I think it had a big impact on not only his disciples, but on the whole community. The unity, the familiar atmosphere he created, all the mercy. We were treated to a lot of parikrams, lectures. He joined in the 24-hour kirtan, and at some point we even, I think, forgot what was going on until one day the message came, like 2 hours after he had given the lecture, that physically he collapsed and then reality hit very hard. I think I would like to mention also some things about his samadhi ceremony, which was extremely impressive. Throughout the years I've attended a few samadhi ceremonies or the passings of some prominent Vaishnavas, but this one left such a deep impression on me. Like the whole community came. It was so unbelievably crowded. Everyone came as one big family to pay their last respects to Maharaj. As I said, Maharaj was very practical. He very meticulously organized his samadhi ceremony. He, if I understood correctly, chose his own spot. He wanted to be put in samadhi next to Brahmananda Prabhu, to whom he was very attached. He arranged who was going to lead the kirtans. He arranged who was going to carry the palanquin. He actually arranged the whole menu of the feast the day after. And during one of the kirtans, while Maharaj was brought inside the temple for a last darshan, it suddenly struck me how the kirtan was so intense that it, and it was simultaneously, it was so blissful and so painful as well. And it struck me how this is only possible in spiritual life, where immense bliss and immense pain go together in such a way. And one of the other points I would like to mention is what Maharaj looked like. His body looked transcendental. He was almost as if he was smiling. He looked self-satisfied, self-realized. I think it was, very impressive. And then the last point I'd like to make is his relationship with Jayadvaita Maharaj. As Rai Ramananda Prabhu mentioned, he was not only a very good guru, but he was also a very good disciple. And I think that showed by the love and care that Jayadvaita Maharaj gave him in his last few months. Then during the ceremony, when Kadamakan Maharaj was lowered into the samadhi pit, all this time Jayadvaita Maharaj was standing near him. Afterwards, I saw some pictures of it, and you can see Jayadvaita Maharaj standing there next to his disciple. And he was so full of emotions. And you could see the love, but also the pride of Jayadvaita Maharaj. And he was standing there like solid like a rock next to his disciple. And it left such a big impression, not only on me, but on everyone. And I pray that somewhere or other we all get the mercy when we leave our bodies, that our spiritual master will be just as proud as us, of us as Jayadvaita Maharaj was proud of Kadamba Maharaj, and that would be perfection of all of our lives.
Thank you, Chintamani Mataji, for mentioning this point also about Ishani Mataji. Her Grace Ishani Mataji ki jai, because without her we wouldn't have had Kadamba Kadamba Maharaj. Anyone else? Or maybe it's time to wrap up. I'd like to thank Adi Keshava Prabhu, who arranged for this, and Radha Madan Gopal Prabhu, and all of you for coming. Have a wonderful day. And if you would be interested in the PDF of the book or the will, we can forward it. Just approach Mataji or myself. Hare Krishna. His Holiness. Sorry, you still want to? Please.
I mean, this is just from all of us here who are attending this program. It's been a real amazing experience. I didn't know how it is going to evolve. But the way you brought it up, and especially she supported, so her heartfelt gratitude, appreciation for making this unplanned, unexpected, such a glorious experience, and very instructive and full of inspiration for us to cherish forever. Even though many of us, I don't know, knew His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj so well, I just remember same thing, like when he was shot, he was the president of, so we were told that he's been shot. That was something very fascinating for us, A president being shot. And then Radha Gopinath Mandir, Bhagavatam class full of humor. Yes, and he spoke Hindi, that's what I remember. But what both of you brought is something which was beyond our, So thank you very much, Ramananda Rai and Chintamani Mataji, for, I don't know how you are both present here during this time. And today happens to be
health checkups. That's why.
Radha Desh, you
your
said.
Your mercy.
Yeah, you said Radha Desh, so I told Radha Madan Gopal, see, so now we know that how we would have missed it otherwise. So once again, thank you very much for at the right time, right thing happened, and we are all blessed. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the invitation. Hare Krishna. His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Swami Maharaj ki. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Go Premanande.